today. Bye-bye, Bubbleology. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, with the latest post covering finance and prop news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Today, I'm joined again by Harry Dent. Hi, Harry.
Oh, hi, Martin.
Well, it's certainly an interesting time to have a conversation because the markets are looking very toppy, and I just wonder whether they've gone mad.
They are mad, and I think it's good. I've been looking for a long time for a peak to this NASDAQ bubble.
Yeah.
I've got this exponential trend line going through all the tops since 2009 rally started. And the last one hit in September 2018, and people would have thought that the rally into February before the COVID virus crash would have been, the top. No, it did not hit that trend line. I've been waiting on that. It hit it in the last week or so, July 13th, and kind of retested today. And I've been telling my subscribers, I think this is not a top. I think this is the top. I originally thought that, you know, after the crash and with the election coming and all the stimulus and Fed printing and Trump needing to get reelected in the U.S. and, of course, the same things around the world. No, this thing might last into October or at least August. I've been telling my subscribers, I actually shorted the market today, this morning. Another guy that we used to have on my past newsletter organization at Agora, Adam O'Dell, also gave, and though this was just a shorter term sell signal, but it's coming at a time when we have hit this top trend line way back and gone over it, and an overthrow rally is a sign of that. We've had all types of island reversals and negative reversals off these recent tops. The dumb money is full out on small traders, are full out on call options, way more than any rally in the past, even more than the rally that came into the virus crash. And the smart money has been selling this rally for the last 4 months, the entire rally, and they did the same thing into the tech top in early 2000. They sold the last several months of that, 4 or 5 months. So I think this may be the top. And here's why I think it's important for you and I, because yes, stocks are one thing. Real estate is the epicenter of this whole bubble, because people borrow to buy real estate. It's the epicenter of Australia. Australia doesn't have a debt problem outside of the banks lending too much against high value real estate and consumers and businesses paying too much with debt. They don't have a big problem, but this real estate bubble burst, especially in China, this when real estate bubbles burst, it's far worse than stock bubbles because a lot of people borrow to buy real estate, and only traders borrow to buy stocks, small and large, but of course the larger ones. So I think this is very significant. I think the real estate bubbles are the most pernicious here in Australia, obviously, although you guys have had some breaks since 2017. The U.S. is having a kind of late panic buying because there's low inventory, because the builders have not been building enough since the great financial crisis. I think that this is the top in stocks. And if stocks start going down, stocks are so high and so much wealth are in stocks and other financial assets that will get people more conservative about bonds, especially higher yield bonds and real estate, and I think the whole thing falls down. So I think this, the last time in the U.S., the real estate bubble peaked first, but we were weird because we had this subprime crisis, which was the worst. I mean, anybody would have looked at this outside of the U.S. and said, what are you guys smoking? But this time the stocks are getting most bubbly first, and gold, I would say, almost as well. And it's going to be real estate that follows when stocks cause a downturn in the economy, because there's so much money just in stocks and financial assets that another crash that doesn't go to new highs next time in stocks and financial assets could cause a deep recession on its own. And I don't think the next downturn, Martin, is going to be the cause. It's going to be all the defaults and zombie companies and real estate problems that come from this slowdown in financial assets after all of this. So I think the virus was just a trigger to reveal how weak the economy actually is.
Yeah, well, I think you've summed it up very well, Harry, and certainly we're seeing here. So yesterday, the Treasurer here made an announcement that the debt projections in Australia now will be government debt as high as ever. But he said unemployment 9.5% by the end of the year, if you're lucky. Right, 9.5%. We were at 5% below this, and we're already seeing real estate prices now starting to teeter. There's no inward migration because of the border lockdowns. Demand exactly. from first-time buyers is still there because they're being cajoled to still buy. But property investors are now leaping for the exits. So we're seeing a massive amount of property investors losing their shirts, trying to get out. So believe me, property here is precisely where you thought it was going to be, which is on the way down.
Well, and where you thought it would be. I mean, I hate to say it, Mark, it's just inevitable. when debt grows faster in an economy for a long period of time than GDP and earnings and things, and when real estate prices grow much faster than inflation, inflation and real estate replacement cost, which is the real thing, and when real estate gets to where you have to rent out at losses, negative gearing. And people always say, Harry, you don't understand Australian real estate. I'm like, no, I'm sorry. I do understand it. I spent most of my adult career until 2002 in California, which is exactly like Australia. Incredibly attractive place to live with great weather, great people, great demographic trends, and there's limited supply. So it goes up. And California has always been worth more than most of the United States, except for places like Manhattan and a few places in, you know, New York. But same in but Australia is all that. I mean, all the major cities. I mean, Melbourne, Sydney, especially Brisbane, even Perth before the commodity crash and the resource price downturn are all great cities and coastal areas with the same dynamics. So Australia becomes the most overvalued developed country in the world, and China has quickly become the most overvalued in the emerging world. And the truth is the East Coast of China are more like the Asian tigers. And guess what? Not only have the Asian tigers seen one real estate bubble starting with Japan and coming out to the next, China's demographics have turned down just like Japan's did in the 90s. And so China's not going to be able to sustain the very highest real estate valuations in the world. And I keep asking Australians, do you think that your real estate market can hold up even with the government supporting it? Oh, they always do. I'm always told, oh, the government will support it. Oh, that's the worst news you want to hear. When people say, that's what I heard in Dubai in late 2006. I spoke at one of the biggest conferences ever in Dubai in late 2006. And I put up the chart and said, here's your bubble. It's going to burst. And everybody said, Harry, you don't understand. The Dubai real estate market, the government supports it. Crashed 45% the next year, even before the GFC. So I love Australians because they're a progressive, want to learn audience, my best audience in the world. But you guys are in, I hate to say, you guys are in la la land on real estate because you've been living off this bubble so long. And you know what? You know what the best measure of it? Your money velocity in Australia, with way better demographic trends than any other Western country outside of Israel, sucks. because people are putting too much money in flipping and investing in real estate, which does not create productive investment or competitive advantage in the world. It's just making money off of nothing. That's what quantitative easing does. That's what speculation does. So that's Australia's Achilles heel. You have better demographics. You're on the edge of the growing part of the world, which will be more Southeast Asia and India in the future, less than China, although China will grow at some point again. You're putting too much money, people putting too much money in real estate instead of businesses that can produce goods to sell to Asia.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The whole economy here is completely warped, and it's been warped because of policy. So I blame the Reserve Bank, and I blame the government for basically taking the easy route rather than the hard route, the lack of productive investment in things that actually create real value rather than just spurious value. And just one indicator, the mortgage stress data, which I always watch, we were at 32% in February. It's up to 39% now, right? Because of the higher unemployment and because of everything else that's happening.
Just in a few months.
Yeah. And that's because of the virus and because of the fact that the unemployment rate, and that is with massive government support. So there's around 3 million end households that are being supported through a business support program. And they've also increased the level of the dole as well. So that's with massive government support. You know, if that sort of goes away as well, I mean, this is just now right on the cusp of what we always said would happen. And, I don't believe that the Treasury and the bank here in Australia Reserve Bank can do enough to not allow this to happen. It's going to fall. It's just a question of how quick and whether it actually does it uniformly, or as I think, it's going to be patchy, different places, different locations, different types of property. But we are starting to see now very, very good examples of significant price falls. And in fact, I keep putting them out there to show people. The other point that's worth interesting to sort of reflect on is that I now report mortgage stress at a postcode level, and people can actually ask me for information about what's going on at the postcode level, right? And in the last 2 months, I've had a 300% increase in the number of people asking me about what the hell is going on. So that's another indicator that now individuals and households are getting really concerned about this whole bubble.
Well, yeah, and they have to. And, you know, the thing is, everybody always says in a bubble, oh, the governments won't let it happen, or you can always keep it going with X and Y. No, bubbles defeat themselves every time, even without a trigger at some point. But triggers usually happen, like the subprime crisis in the U.S. in 2006, 2007, 2008. And this, virus here in early 2020 to mid 2020. But every bubble will burst. When people say governments can keep it going, I always ask men, how long can you keep an orgasm going? That's my first thing when a man gives me an argument. Oh, the governments can keep this going. And they shut up when I say that, because nobody can keep an orgasm going too long unless you're one of these porno champs or something. And even that's probably fake. So that's the reality. You can't keep something that diverges from reality. Real estate, like a home in Sydney was worth $300,000 10 or 15 years ago. Now it's worth $1 million when the economy's only grown 10%. And incomes have grown that or a little more. You can't do that. Or debt has grown, like in China or Australia or the United States, like massively more than GDP and income for two or three decades now. That never, ever, ever works out any more than somebody taking more of a drug to feel better and hoping it works out better, because eventually it kills you. I mean, it's that simple. This is what's happening here. And the only question is, when does it burst? And, I used to use a lot of things. Now I'm like, no, it just blows when it blows. You have to look for the signs of it blowing. In the last 2 weeks, not in real estate yet in the United States or China, maybe somewhat in Australia. And you guys showed signs in 2017-18, which I thought were the beginning of the end. I'm seeing the signs in the stock market, in the NASDAQ, which is the lead bubble in the world. It's not the Chinese market. It's not the European markets. The only market after this virus crash earlier this year that has made new highs of any significance is the NASDAQ. And I see the signs it's cracking this week, and actually started to crack more on Thursday here. The 23rd, which the 21st, the 23rd was the time frame I had for a turn point on the markets. And it looks like it may be turning, but there's many more indicators that say this is not another top. It's the top. Only certain divergences, only the smart money starts. The smart money will buy less into a more artificial bubble, but they will sell aggressively into the late stages. They're selling into this. The last 4 months, the smart money's been selling into this bubble since the March 23rd low, just like they did into the final bubble into early 2000, the first tech bubble. So I'm just telling people, sometimes real estate peaks first, sometimes commodities, sometimes stocks. In this case, I think stocks lead this downturn, and once stocks start to go down, confidence goes down, Trump looks even worse than he already looks, which is hard to do. And then the expectations go down, and the most important thing, Martin, is that the top 20% and in 10 times more the top 1% relative own most of financial assets. They're the people that are still spending in Australia and the United States and Hong Kong and Singapore and everywhere else. These are the people that are going to trigger the downturn when their financial assets go down and they don't feel as rich. And you got to remember that the Chinese, who are still the leading edge, in more so in Australia, in the high end of any market, the Chinese may buy more real estate in the United States or other countries than Australia, but relative to the size of the market, they buy the most in Australia because it's the most attractive place close to them, English speaking, all that sort of stuff. Mm. When the Chinese real estate market implodes and they stop buying, and they've already pulled back on foreign purchases, that to me, the Australian market cannot survive that. That's what triggers this. And China, oh my God, I still say, in the end, just like in 1989, when people thought Japan could do no wrong before they collapsed forever since, that's what people think of China today, economists. China, oh, they're doing all the right things. They, you know, they're eliminating poverty. They're expanding. They're urbanizing. They are doing all of that. They're cheating, and they're overdoing it with great leverage and great debt for an emerging country. And they're still an emerging country. They're not like Japan or South Korea, Taiwan, who have achieved broad-scale developed country status like Australia or the United States. They are still an emerging country, and they have debt ratios compared to developed countries, and real estate is Hong Kong. Let me put it this way. Hong Kong, either at the average or median price to income compared to the Melbourne and Sydney, twice as overvalued. Can you imagine that? So when China, Hong Kong, Shanghai, Beijing blows, I'm telling you, you will feel it in Australia more than we feel it in the United States. Our real estate already got clocked in 2006 to 2012. We took a big hit. We came back. We're back in a second bubble, but it's kind of like the first bubble. It's not worse, you know. Oh, Australia's way worse. China's way worse. And China is the epicenter, as well as the rest of East Asia, which is your best expert partners and part of the world, are all the most vulnerable in this downturn. The greatest bubble in history with baby boom generations around the world started with Japan into the 1990 peak for them, and then kept peaking around the world. And Taiwan's the last to go down in South Korea. South Korea recently, Taiwan in the next few years, all the developed countries, mostly, especially all of East Asia, is going down forever. They have the worst demographics, worse than Southern Europe. That's your trading partners. That's your part of the world. It's going to be Southeast Asia and India that lifts your side of the world out of this. That will only come in the next boom when China and East Asia crash. And if you think China and East Asian real estate and their bubbles and economies can crash and it doesn't affect Australian real estate, then you're a frickin' moron. I'll tell that to anybody in Australia. You're a moron. No way. No government can fight that trend. It's bigger than Australia. Australia, by the way, is not that big, and your government's not that big, okay? China's that big. U.S. is that big to maybe try to stop them. There's no way the Australian government, with its low debt, which is a good thing, can stop your real estate bubble from going down and collapsing when the China bubble burst.
Now, I've got a couple of other questions. I want to go back to gold and specifically silver, because silver's had a huge run this week. And of course, gold is up as well. Now, you've consistently said gold is probably down rather than up ultimately. So can you unpack that for me? What's gone on there?
Yeah, well, you know, I've always said gold is the hardest one. For all the crisis people, from Peter Schiff, who's a big gold bug, and Jim Richards and other people, and me and Robert Precht and stuff, we're all seeing longer-term trends. You know, Martin, make this crystal clear. We're in the greatest bubble in history, and it's going to burst. There's no two ways about it. It's just a matter of when and how much. And because this has been stretched so far, it's probably going to be as bad or worse than the 1929 to 32 thing. So that's not the issue. It's just like, okay, when do certain triggers, when do certain places hit? What triggers this? The COVID started to, but again, the central banks and the U.S. has been the laggard since 2014 compared to the ECB in Japan. And China's nonstop. China doesn't print money, Martin. They print condos. That's way worse because you're... Printing money just causes speculation, but printing condos and infrastructures causes excess capacity that causes falling prices to deal with that. And that is even more deflationary. So it's just a matter of what throws this thing. The virus through this first crash, the stimulus was so strong, especially in the U.S., that we got a rally to new highs. But again, how many markets are new highs? Anybody know a major stock market at new highs? The German DAX, the French CAC, the FTSE, the Australia, 200? Nothing. Only the NASDAQ. I think the NASDAQ, my forecast today is that the NASDAQ just peaked at near 11,000. And I've been looking for that target ever since the peak that hit the top of the trend line there in September 2018. We did not hit it in February of this year because the virus, we were heading towards it, but the virus cut it short, okay? We just hit it and exceeded it. Exceeding it is even more bearish. To exceed a trend line this long from 2009 in the most exponential stock market ever in history, in the worst economy in history. How bad is that, Martin? So yep. This, I think, is it. And if it's not it, it's close to it. I wouldn't mind shorting the NASDAQ here without a lot of leverage and sitting on it because, okay, maybe something happens, another stimulus plan. By the way, there's already another stimulus plan in the United States and the markets are 100% aware of it and probably overestimating it. There's not much upside left here in stocks. And if stocks crash, everything follows in this case, because that's the leading indicator. Stocks lead the economy 3 to 6, 7 months. And in this case, real estate is stronger at the end, where it was weaker last time. And that triggers real estate. And The problem in the world, Martin, is I know you know better than anybody. Real estate has the most debt against it. It's the most devastating to the banking system. Australians have, well, last I saw, 67% of their net worth in real estate. That was 75% in China last time I came to Australia. China's already up to 78%. I bet Australia is closer to 69, 70%. It's 30% in the US. This real estate bubble will not kill us. Other things will kill us, but it will kill Australia. And the banks there, last I heard, and you know more than better, and you can comment on this. Last I heard, the bank's exposure in debt is 75% to real estate in Australia, commercial and residential. So you think the government, which does only have 40, 45% debt to GDP, one of the best in the world, only New Zealand is lower, can fight that with their stimulus? I don't think so. But again, the bigger thing is you're in the East Asia realm where China is going to decide what happens. And China is the epicenter of this bubble, like the United States was the Roaring Twenties bubble. United States was the emerging country, emerging mainstream against Europe. Now China and Asia's emerging mainstream against Europe and the United States. And yeah. China's the big bubble.
Yeah. It's interesting. You've touched there on what the regulators and the bank will do here. Just a couple of interesting data points. The first is there was a Freedom of Information report that came out about a month ago. And in there, the Reserve Bank was discussing the idea of freezing all the property indices to effectively mask from the community what was happening to property prices. So that's one interesting observation. They didn't do it, but they were talking about doing it. And the other one is that the APRA, which is the regulator for the banks, have allowed the banks to essentially postpone any bad reporting relating to bad loans. So basically they're saying for the next 6 months, don't worry about it, right? So what they're doing is pushing out all of those pain issues that we know is in the system, but they can only push them out so far. So all they're doing is just hoping that somehow magically the economy comes back and, you know, things get back to normal. But they're not going to do that. So if that's pushing out into maybe next year, the real estate crunch for the banks. But it's there, absolutely, because as you say, the banks in Australia are so highly leveraged to real estate. They are absolutely exposed and they're still lending at 6-7 times income to value. It's just crazy.
It's crazy because 3 to 4, 4 is high traditionally, 3 is typical. So yeah, no, I mean, that's the thing about bubbles. Bubbles take more and more to keep them going. The more the bubble goes up, the problem is the institutions and governments that are invested in the bubble, once they create it, even though they didn't intend to, they're just trying to make things better and better, they have to do these defensive things like, oh, like central banks, we can't have a recession. What's wrong with having a recession? We have a major recession every 10 years, a minor every 4 years, throughout all of history and more in the 1800s. Recessions are like a cold. They cleanse debt and inefficiency, knock out bad companies, create new ones, and are for the better. No, when they start saying we can't have a recession no matter what they're saying is we understand as governments, central banks, and major financial institutions like Wall Street and everywhere around the world, we can't have a recession. You know why? It will turn into a depression, which it will, and which it started to. 2008 looked exactly like 1930 until the central bank said, no, we're going to stop the deleveraging of debt, the deleveraging of financial assets, and reinflate financial assets, suspend, as you said earlier, suspend mark-to-markets. You don't have to foreclose on debts or mark them down. We're going to pretend like it didn't happen and hope on what exactly you said, magic. Hope is not a strategy. And anybody in Australia thinks it is, and I still love you guys more than Americans and Europeans and Asians, but if you think hope for real estate keeping up and going up in this economy is a strategy, you are living in La La Land, period. There's no two way. I will stand on that. It may happen a year from now, or may already have started, or 2 years from now. This will not stand. If you think it does, you have not studied history, and you need to wake up. That simple.
Yeah, and the Treasurer's statement yesterday said that GDP will be lower this year and lower next year, and that, of course, is a technical definition of a depression. So effectively, officially, the government here now is forecasting a depression in Australia.
Yeah, well, they're forecasting a minor depression, an extended recession or a minor depression. Like you say, a recession is just more than two quarters GDP decline. Now, this is... The virus put us into a temporary depression, which was offset by massive stimulus beyond any belief. Anybody that thinks it was worth the U.S. printing $3 trillion, $3.4 trillion, by the way, in the last year, and three going on $4 or $5 trillion in fiscal stimulus to offset a short-term depression or recession and think that's worth it long-term? What's wrong with you? Would you do that in your business? Would you invest $1 million to avoid a $100,000 loss in your business? I don't think so. This is how crazy, Martin, bubble logic is. The more the bubble builds, everybody gets high. Oh, my real estate should go up with inflation, but it's going up three, four times that, 15, 20% a year. My stock should be going up at a little more than GDP and earnings growth, maybe 5, 6, 7% a year. It's going up, they're going up at 20, 30% a year. I'm sitting on my couch, on my fat ass, watching my new 75-inch high-definition television, which would have cost $10,000 10 years ago for $800, and thinking, what's wrong with this? I'm happy. You're in La La Land. This is all bubble logic. This cannot continue. Hey, normal productivity, normal growth, yes, can compound to unbelievable wealth. We've seen eight times our standard of living in the last century alone, more than any time in history. So that was mostly normal growth until the 90s forward, when we got into this bubble logic where you just borrow more, and then when the borrowing starts to fail and the demographic growth to support it starts to fail, you just print more and more money, exponentially offset it, and you keep doing it exponentially more until, like any balloon, it busts. It just bursts at some point.
Yep.
I am saying, and I've said it before, and I've had to recant and then get people back in the market, I'm saying I think it just happened this week, July 21st, July 13th into this week, I think was the peak of the greatest stock market bubble in history, and everything else is going to follow this. Mm. Well, actually, it really peaked for the broad markets and all other markets in February. It peaked for the leading bubble, the NASDAQ and the NASDAQ 100 here in July. Mark my words on that. If I have to eat them, I will, but I tell you, I won't have to eat much from here. I don't see how the markets can go much higher or real estate much higher in most places. It's crazy.
Yeah. Okay. Now, that's great, Harry. And we should also, I guess, just mention the fact that there will be a seminar this time, well, pretty much this time next week, so Friday next week, where you and I will be chatting about this a bit more.
Yeah. We're going to be doing a webinar that people should get on, and getting into this more deeply. We're also launching a new mutual fund around these contrary demographic and cyclical indicators to always be in the right sectors. Never be dedicated to large cap stocks or this or that or bonds or something else or Asia or any other part of it. We always go where the predictable trends say things are going. We're going to launch a unique fund, and so people can go to densectorfund.com and get on a list. We can't say anything about this now. We're in the regulation period, but probably in the next few months, we're going to open this fund, and we'll let you know because, man, I think you're going to see in the market continued volatility. And you're going to say, what do I do with my money? Well, this is one place you can put it, because we've been expecting this volatility in the top end. There'll be volatility when it starts to go down. Then there'll be a longer downturn for a few years until we get to a broader bull market again. And boy, if you don't navigate that, you're going to lose most of your wealth. I mean, it's just that simple. We've had more wealth than we have deserved since, I'd say, 1995, especially when the bubble really started in stocks and real estate started in 2000 and beyond. You know, everybody's had more wealth than they ever deserved sitting on their ass watching that 75-inch TV, okay? This is going to be taken away if you do not protect yourself and get out ahead of the crowd. And again, I never know that this was the top. But I'm saying I've seen the short-term indicators line up with the long-term and say, this is the most likely time I've seen to say, okay, pull the trigger, start to get out of risky assets, protect your capital, get into safe, high-quality, long-term Australian and U.S. Treasury bonds, things like that. They'll preserve your value and make you some money in the downturn, and then look to reinvest when things come back. So that's what we'll be talking about in this webinar coming up, and we'll be doing more in the future as well. So don't miss this. And I hate to say, even if you've heard this tonight, you can't hear this enough. You have to have the conviction to make some strong decisions here when everybody, including your mother and your brother and your sister and the government and 99% of economists, are going to say everything's okay, the government won't let this go down. That is the worst thing I want to hear, is when people go to the point where they say, don't worry, the government won't let this bubble burst. Oh my God, that's when you should run.
Yeah, unfortunately, the government is not a miracle worker, despite what many think. Appreciate your time today. It's been a really interesting conversation, and I look forward to chatting with you next week on the seminar.
Yeah, great. I can't wait, Martin. Love to get on anything with you.
Great, thanks. See you later.